This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Last week, Brandi Cruz exclusively announced on the Dory Monson Show that she was leaving corporate media because she feels like she really just has a calling to be a watchdog of government. And she said that she didn't feel like she could do that under the umbrella of corporate media. And even though she had a lot of time left on a contract, she just decided to step away and start something on her own. At 1:32 this afternoon, Brandi Cruz will join me live, and we'll talk about some of the stories that she is working on right now, because I very much support this effort. And as a, you know, being a watchdog of government, being a foundational principle of this radio show, we're going to team up with Brandi on a regular basis here and make sure that her coverage gets as big a megaphone as possible. Nicole, have you been following Rittenhouse today? I can't believe the jury is still deliberating. It's day three, and this is worrisome, I think.
Yeah, it's really worrisome. I have been following it, kind of. I mean, the audio you're going to play here in a minute, but other than that, it's just a waiting game.
Well, yeah, and he's so clear-cut, not guilty, because it was self-defense. And the jury is still out there, but the jury also knows if he is found guilty of anything, then we have a real serious, maybe one of the most serious breakdowns of law and order in our nation's history, because we've had a lot of people making threats to this jury, and the jury has not been sequestered. So no doubt some of this is getting to them. And they're being told that if you let Kyle Rittenhouse go, there have been threats against the jurors, against their family members, against their children. And I cannot imagine what it is like for those jurors to have to make a decision between protecting justice or protecting their family. And the fact that these threats are being made, where is the Department of Justice? Where's Joe Biden on this one? Oh, yeah. They're going after lots of other their pet projects. They're going after families who are upset about their kids being taught to be racist at school. That's what they're doing. You're a domestic terrorist if you go speak to the school board. Where's the Justice Department in protecting integrity in our judicial system? And we've already seen a breakdown here in our state where the mob is now not the law, but the mob is controlling how things go down. As three Tacoma cops were right on the verge of being exonerated in a highly publicized case in Tacoma, then Jay Inslee gets involved and said, no, we're not going to accept what the investigations say. I'm going to give it to Bobby Fergie. And Bobby Fergie, of course, was only going to come back with the harshest punishment. And so these three Tacoma cops, unprecedented, two of them are facing murder charges. And this is trial by mob. And we're seeing in our state, we're seeing politicians being willing to throw the lives of human beings into prison for the rest of their lives so that they can score political points with the constituencies that will help them climb the ladder. It's disgusting. And so there's absolutely no legal reason that the Rittenhouse jury would be 3 days into deliberations when the evidence was so clear and so overwhelming that each of those shootings was self-defense. So is this the mob winning again? And then, of course, will the judge overturn if there's any guilty verdict? Because they have had the defense call for a mistrial because of prosecutorial misconduct with the tape, the video where they didn't release the high-definition copy that the prosecution had, and they just showed low def to make it more ambiguous, but the high def version exonerates Rittenhouse in the first shooting. And then there's this. NBC News. They sent a producer to follow the jury bus. NBC News actively participating in doxing the jury. And what they were going to do with this, who knows? But the guy who followed the bus says that he was ordered to do so by his bosses in New York City. And the judge was not happy.
He was ticketed for violating a traffic control signal. He's not here today from what I'm told. And I have instructed that no one from MSNBC News will be permitted in this building for the duration of this trial. This is a very serious matter, and I don't know what the ultimate truth of it is, but absolutely it would go without much thinking that someone who is following the jury bus, that is a very, it's extremely serious matter, and will be referred to the proper authorities for further action.
NBC News, trying to affect the outcome of a trial, hoping apparently to send an innocent 17-year-old to prison for the rest of his life so they can control it, not a jury. They want to intimidate the jury by chasing down the jury bus and maybe getting pictures of them, which is also part of it. The guy was instructed to try to get pictures of the jurors. I said at the beginning of the show, I'll say it again now. This is pure evil. This is the media acting with pure evil intent when they try to affect the outcome of a trial like this. And so this is why people have lost all faith in most mainstream media, because of nonsense like this. Next up in our Fastest 15, sports betting is legal now in Washington, but the only way you can do it is to go to a tribal casino, and there's only one so far offering it, and that's Snoqualmie Casino, but Tulalips are going to offer it shortly. But this is yet another tremendous failure of our legislature, because the state of Washington is not making one penny off of the sports betting in our state. They have given this monopoly to the tribes. There are about 20 states that have sports betting legal. In fact, New Jersey, just last month, they had over $1 billion in sports betting. And just that alone, the state of New Jersey taxes that were thrown off, state of New Jersey made almost $10 million in taxes in 1 month. And I don't mind sin taxes, you know, booze and gambling, because if you don't want to pay the tax, you don't have to buy the product or engage in the activity. It's a voluntary tax that you choose to be a part of. Here in Washington, we're not getting a penny off of this. 20 states, and in most of them, they have, and all the sports leagues are on board. ESPN has point spreads at the bottom of the screen. And in almost every state that has legalized sports betting, you can pick up your phone and you can, you know, there's 20 different online casinos, BetMGM, FanDuel, I mean, it goes on and on and on. DraftKings, they all have these online casinos now. You can pick up your phone. If you want to make a, you know, $10 bet on the Kraken game, you could do so. But not in the state of Washington. What does that tell you about our state? You can, in King County, in front of a cop, you can shoot up heroin. You can ingest meth. And there will be no punishment. But oh, if you bet 10 bucks on the Kraken, they'll put you in prison for that. How do we get so screwed up? We legalized marijuana. Now we've legalized heroin and meth in King County. And yet you can't play online poker. You can't put a few bucks on a sports game. Why? Because they have given all of that gambling monopoly to the tribes. And every other state, the state government gets a piece of it. And it is absolutely ridiculous that the state of Washington is not getting a piece of the sports betting pie. Next up in the Fastest 15, Thanksgiving turkey. Thank you, Joe Biden. Your Thanksgiving turkey is expected to cost 24% more this year. That is the inflation rate for turkeys. And your entire meal is going to go up to 20% versus last year, or about $7 per person. $7 per person. Your meal will be more expensive because of Bidenflation, which is just, it's everywhere. I went to the grocery store again last night. It is insane. Okay, Nicole, best Thanksgiving side dish.
Oh, well, so sweet potatoes is my thing, and I try to mix it up every year. Although I'm skipping this year. But,
don't, are you serious?
Yeah, no, I
Yams?
Love. Yeah, but see, I make them very,
yams?
I find a new fun way to make them every year. Yep.
Yams?
I love them. Yep.
Yams are the devil's gourd.
It's actually, no, the sweet potatoes. There's a difference between yam and sweet
potatoes. No, there's not.
Sweet potato.
Yams are sweet potatoes.
No, no.
Sweet potatoes are yams.
I know. This is going to be a
and
whole
And they're
thing.
Both evil, whatever you do.
I know. I know. I guarantee. Like, that's what everybody thinks. And then I bring my, you know, special, the way that I make it is key. Because I'm sure what you are picturing in your head right now is the, like, mashed up orange potatoes with
Let's back up. Just pulled up.
On it.
What's the difference between a sweet potato and a yam? In the United States, which is where we are last time I checked, in the United States, the terms yam and sweet potato are used interchangeably.
Yes.
But it goes on to say they are completely different vegetables.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a difference in the, well, colors, number one, and the difference. So that's how you can, like I said, you're picturing the orange potatoes that have a marshmallow and some brown sugar thrown on them. That is not how I make them. So.
Okay.
And I didn't like those growing up either, so that's why I took it over.
Okay.
It's a whole
Sean?
Thing.
Sean?
Yes.
Best side dish. Thanksgiving.
The best side dish. Let's see. Before or after my dietary restrictions, because there's certain things I can't have right now. Let's see. Let's pretend I can.
Okay.
I love, what is it? The green bean casserole. I really enjoy
Word.
That.
Holy criminy.
What?
Yams and green bean casseroles.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, mashed potatoes are great. Mashed whatever.
Yeah.
But,
well, that's the number one. Mashed potatoes and gravy. I've spent a lifetime trying to make gravy as well as gravy masters. And my girls don't like gravy. But so that's about
gravy.
The only time. What?
I don't like gravy. I don't eat the gravy.
Oh, are you serious?
No.
Oh.
It's kind of gross. It's gross.
Gravy's not gross.
I can't believe. No, you think vegetables and sweet potatoes are gross, but you don't think that the yuckiness that goes into gravy is gross?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's the essence
mm-hmm.
of whatever you're cooking.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, whatever it is. Thanks to Joe Biden, we're all going to pay more for it this year. And to get to Grandma's house, you are going to pay a lot more to fill up your gas tank. But White House spokesperson Jen Psaki says, no, that's a good thing. It's really good that everybody's paying so much for gas right now.
Just to be clear, and I know that's been a criticism, so that's why I said that, not an accurate one. Look, our view is that the rise in gas prices over the long term makes an even stronger case for doubling down our investment and our focus on clean energy options so that we are not relying on the fluctuations and OPEC and their willingness to put more supply and meet the demands in the market.
Unbelievable. And people wonder why their approval rating's so low. Has there ever been a president and administration more out of touch with the American people This is a good thing, she says, so we can move towards clean energy. Do you think our poor, our working class, our middle class people who are paying 20, 25 bucks more to fill up their tank, do you think they're saying, oh, man, I'm glad because maybe we'll get some more wind generators up there? That's not how anybody thinks, but that's how they think. And that's why in a brand new Quinnipiac poll that came out today, Joe Biden, he was at 38% in the last poll last week. Joe Biden, oh, and Quinnipiac is always, always a liberal-leaning poll. Joe Biden's approval rating is down to 36% now. Sub-Trump. And it's because he's got a spokesperson who says sky-high gas prices are a good thing because then maybe they can get some more solar panels up. It's completely out of touch and disconnected with the American people. This is an administration that is a disaster for the middle class and the working class people of this nation. All right, and then finally, Joe Biden got creepy again today with the kid. He was signing some bill, and there's a little first grade boy standing next to him, and Joe Biden just became fixated on the boy, and he puts his hand on the kid's arm, and then he kind of starts rubbing the arm.
First grade.
Okay, what grade are you in? And the kid says first. And then his arm goes up, and it looks like he's kind of stroking the kid's cheek or hair. Did you see that, Nicole, when you were cutting this up? That's what I saw. Is he kind of stroking
the cheek and the hair? Yeah, he touches his, like, with the back of his fingers, he touches his cheek to, like, feel how soft it is.
Oh,
it's weird.
Oh, it's so weird.
Well, that's great, man. Thank you for being here. You okay? Maybe after this I can show you what I see.
Maybe I can show you around the White House later. Often that would be a thrill for a kid, but this just seemed so creepy from a guy. I mean, if this was the only incident of this, then that'd be unfair to say. But since there are 20-minute compilations on YouTube of him stroking little girls at, you know, confirmation hearings and all of that, and he's been criticized for it, he still can't stop it. Acknowledge that he's too touchy-feely, and he cannot stop it. So that's why it's creepy. Not because of this one incident, but because of what's been demonstrated that is a pattern of behavior that is just not appropriate. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Right after we check the news, independent journalist Brandi Crews will join us. It's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. The prodigal daughter has returned home. Brandi Crews, she and I partnered on some really great stuff when she first came to Seattle. And then she got too big for my little show. And then she got too big for corporate media, and now she's back on the Dory Monson Show. Things always go full circle, don't they, Brandi?
The prodigal daughter.
Yeah.
I was like, is he talking about me? I like that.
Yeah, yeah, how about that? so you made your big announcement last week that you're leaving corporate media because you didn't feel like you could serve that master and still pursue your calling of going after stories without any compromises. Is that a fair summation of it?
Yeah, I think that's a fair summation. And also going after stories in a way that I don't have to fit them within a hour newscast surrounded by kickers and weather and traffic and all these other things.
Right. Okay. And by the way, I'm a little ticked off as we get going here.
Oh.
Because I told you that I was going to have a listener surprise for you today, right?
You did, and I was looking forward to it.
Well, then I find out that that our great friend of the radio show, Dave Irish, already sent his Brandi Crews song to you, and you posted all over the internet.
Well, you wouldn't tell me what the surprise was, and had you told me, I would have said, well, I already got that song. So, and wasn't it great?
Well, yeah, well, I love Dave. Dave has done some great stuff for us. Let me listen to a little bit of this here.
She was the voice on Fox 13. Now she's off doing her own thing. Undivided is the show she'll bring, but she can't make it on her own. Now it's a show.
Okay. I think it's good. It's very sweet.
It's good. And for people who don't familiar, it's to the tune of Brandy by Looking Glass, which I like that song maybe because I'm a narcissist, but I've been trying to get that song
time out
a long time.
I know you're used to dealing with dopes in the media who attract dopey audiences. Do you think there was one person listening who didn't know what that tune was?
I don't know, Dory.
Do you think that needed to be explained to them?
You didn't let it get to the chorus.
For the anti-fringe, not beholden to the corporate thing. She's made it clear to let freedom sing. Truth will be her home. We all say Brandy.
Okay, now they know. For sure. No, my audience gets stuff. My audience doesn't need to...
I was saying it for this reason. I've been looking for that song on vinyl for years. And so if anyone in your audience has it, I would like it.
Okay. All right. If you have Brandy by Looking Glass on vinyl, please get it to Brandy. There we go.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's get to some actual news here, can we? Because there's some stories that I've been covering a lot this week. So our Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, he's suing pharmaceutical companies because of the opioids that are in our state. I've been talking to Homeland Security and the DEA for a long, long time, Brandy, about how drugs are coming across what is now a wide open U.S.-Mexico border. They are coming right up the I-5 corridor. China gets fentanyl into Mexico. The cartels get the fentanyl into mules, and they come right up. And there was a big bust just 2 days ago. And you are working on another aspect or a similar aspect of this story right now, I understand.
Well, I think, you know, and nobody can deny that a lot of our drugs are coming up from Mexico. I hope there's no one who in the political circle is denying that that's happening, because where do you think it's coming from? But something that was really interesting, you know, as I set out on this independent endeavor, there had been an anchor that left Fox 13 right before me named Allie Bradley. Folks might know her. She's from Snohomish County originally. She left Fox 13, and she decided, you know, she was sick of sitting on the anchor desk, doing nothing that she found meaningful. So she goes straight down to the border, the U.S. border in Mexico, and embarks on this crazy journey to try to understand the truth behind what's happening down there. And she not only spends time at the border, but also meets up with a migrant caravan with people from Honduras and Nicaragua, and spends a ton of time with people in this caravan, talking to them, learning their stories, and, you know, trying to figure out what is driving them to come up. And she was able to file a report for Undivided and talked about a lot of sort of what some people dismiss, like, for instance, that President Biden is the reason that a lot of these migrants are coming up. And she actually found out in speaking to them, spending weeks with them, that was absolutely the case.
Well, yeah. I mean, Joe Biden on the campaign trail said, the first day I am president, I want you to surge the border. And so we've had an unprecedented surge, and it's, you know, nearly a million illegal aliens have come across. And the danger, of course, is not only the drugs and, you know, fentanyl, heroin-laced fentanyl are coming up to the Pacific Northwest, but who knows how many terrorists are getting across the border as well. So why did how did Allie find out that they said this is a Joe Biden thing?
Well, let's play this clip. I know I sent you some clips we can queue up here. If you've got it, this is a little clip of just the story that Allie filed for us. Where,
yeah, I see it now. I'm sorry. I now see the clip. I had missed it. So here it... Nicole, it won't load for me. Nicole.
And I can talk a little bit about it. You know, Allie would be out with these migrant caravans, and they would be holding signs that were about Biden. She'd speak to them and say, hey, why are you coming now? And they'd say, now is the best time. It's because of President Biden. And some of them even told her, I would have never even attempted this under Donald Trump.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's been one of the many failures of this administration, from Afghanistan to the southern border to the economy and raging inflation. And this is an absolute security risk in our country. So I'm really glad that's one of the first things that you guys are covering here. And I'll play the clip in just a minute. Nicole has to reload it. Before I let you go, here we go. This is Allie Bradley, who's going to be on Brandy's show this weekend.
The sign here says Joe Biden is for all.
The best time.
Because of the administration?
Because of Joe Biden.
Because of Joe Biden. They're coming into this country. That's great stuff you have there. Okay, and then also, I just wanted to ask you, because you've covered so many trials, what'd you think about the judge having to ban NBC from the courtroom in Kenosha because a reporter was ordered by his boss in New York to follow the jury bus, I would guess, in order to dox them?
This is wild. So this whole trial, can we just acknowledge, has been absolutely wild from beginning to end. I mean, an absolute spectacle. I don't know that anybody can say it's a great example of our judicial system at work. But so you've been seeing these headlines today where this MSNBC freelancer apparently was following this bus of jurors, ends up getting pulled over for a traffic infraction and getting cited for that, but then questioned about why he's following a bus full of jurors. And, you know, there has been a statement now from NBC kind of acknowledging that this is what happened. And the general consensus is among the national media that this is standard procedure, that in big trials where you're going to want to talk to the jury after the trial, you might follow them, you might take pictures of their license plate or something so you can find them post-trial and ask them if they want to do interviews. And when I was reading the NBC statement and all this, that this is standard kind of protocol, first of all, that doesn't make it right, obviously, and that's what the judge in Kenosha is saying in banning MSNBC from the courtroom. You know, it could intimidate a jury if they're being followed. It could scare them. But I'll tell you, you know, when I worked with you guys, I covered mostly crime and justice, and we had a very simple way of trying to interview jurors. You know, we'd be at a major trial, and we'd actually just get in touch with, you know, the clerk in the courtroom or the bailiff and, you know, the judge's staff, and we'd say, hey, you know, we're interested in interviewing anyone on the jury who's willing after the trial.
Sure.
Could you ask them or give them our contact information, and if they want to, they can reach out to us. And so that's how we used to do it. So to hear that, you know, networks are making a practice out of stalking jurors outside a courtroom.
And it's much more insidious now because this is such a politically charged trial, and these jurors are being threatened. Their families are being threatened, their kids, and there are people who are trying to influence the outcome. And if the media is playing any role in that, then that's the media at just pure evil, in my view. So I'll watch. And plus, I don't know why they don't have a verdict yet, because the kid's not guilty. That's clear. Hey, this was fun. You want to do this every Thursday?
I think we should do this every Thursday. And I don't want to play the game, though, where I guess songs, because apparently I'm not good at knowing when people would know a song or not. And so I just want to avoid that. Do that segment with?
Yeah, Dave Wyman
Dave
and
Wyman.
I do that. Well, wait a second. Hey, Sean, cut the bumper. Cut the bumper.
Yeah.
No. Okay, let's play it just one time. Who is the original artist of this tune?
We all say, Brandy, you're a fine girl.
Looking glass.
Think you can get that one? Oh, Looking Glass. Brandy wins 1-0. All right, we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Okay, bye, Dory.
Thank you, friend. Brandy Cruz, she will join the Dory Monson Show every Thursday at 1:30. She is getting and breaking great, great stuff. And check out her Patreon and all the other stuff. I'll get to the exact details in a moment on where to track her down online. Okay, we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. told you yesterday that there may be some high drama going on in Washington, D.C. And the more it's being talked about, the more credence it seems to have. That as low as Joe Biden, brand new Quinnipiac poll today I told you about, he's down to 36% approval. And that's a liberal-leaning pollster. But Kamala Harris is much, much worse. Very, very few people like Kamala Harris. They know that she's supposed to be in charge of the border and has never gone to the border, that she just doesn't seem to have one sincere molecule in her body. Well, she's talking to Canadian child actors about the moon. You'll see craters. And I told you yesterday, Chad Pergram, who's a great reporter for Fox News, congressional reporter, and he had gotten a tip that he should pay attention to the line of succession for vice presidents because a change could be imminent. Let me remind you of what he said yesterday, and then I have an update for you.
You know, just to kind of let you guys in on a little secret here, I was, you know, told about 2 to 3 weeks ago, maybe this pertains to the Supreme Court, maybe this pertains to, you know, changing the ticket before you get into 2024. You know, FDR, seemingly he burned through a vice president almost every time he was up for office. But I got an email from somebody who really knows this place very well, who said, Chad, start to familiarize yourself with the confirmation process, just not in the Senate, but the House, for a vice president. Of course.
Okay. Now, CNN, which loves the administration, they've even turned. CNN says they have 26 sources that say that Biden is considering dumping Kamala. Now, I don't know how that happens. You have the first, not just woman, but you have the first woman of color who's part of a presidential ticket, and they would get rid of her? I don't know how you do that with the optics. But she had to go on with George Stephanopoulos this morning and talk about these reports.
So you don't feel misused or underused?
No, I don't. I am very, very excited about the work that we have accomplished, but I am also absolutely, absolutely clear-eyed that there is a lot more to do, and we're going to get it done.
Okay, what about the border crisis that you're supposed to be in charge of? And as you just heard in Brandi Cruz's report, they're coming because of your administration.
Well, it's not going to be overnight. We can't just flip a switch and make it better. The reality is that we inherited a system, an immigration system, that was deeply broken, and it's requiring us to actually put it back together in terms of creating a fair process that is effective and efficient.
Now, what a lie. I mean, nothing about that was true. Trump had the numbers a fraction of what Biden has, though. A fraction. They got it under control. This administration is absolutely incompetent at every single thing it does, and Americans now recognize that. The news and the big lead at 2 coming up next.